Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. How are you, my friend?
I'm Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I've decided that I think I should just do all these podcasts exhausted, because I don't know what it is. Maybe there's less stuff going on in my head and I'm just focused on one thing. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe not. However, yes. I feel like I command more airwave in a less egalitarian. Jesus.
All right. It's late.
Less that way. But I think we have some interesting things to talk about. As always, thank you for our listeners around the world, whether it be on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, FM, Podomatic, YouTube,
Modstate.com.
Modstate.com. How dare we forget that one? Jeez.
On the left sidebar.
Yep, left sidebar. You can find all the links to the podcast if you just don't want to screw with any of that. Just go there. And then you can read other cool stuff as well. And then, as always, if you like what you hear at this podcast and you'd like to help fund our hosting fees and keep this alive, we don't usually ask that, but I did right now. So, anyway.
This has been a public service broadcast.
This has been a test of your emergency. I would just put people to sleep with that voice. Yeah, like, where's the emergency? Ladies and gentlemen, if you step outside, there's a tornado heading southeast in your direction. So please take shelter as soon as possible and not curl up in your bed.
I didn't listen to Leader of Bethesda like that. You know him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, man.
He was so calm and sedate. Even when, like, crisis was going on, he calmed down more.
Man, that's the sign of someone that's seen some...
Yes.
Yeah. Where it's like, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you grab your emergency gear? There are bombs dropping outside and impending doom. In fact, the rapture has happened and 3/4 of all humanity is gone. So for those of you who are still here, please get up out of bed and follow me. Hey, is the rapture Catholic? What is that?
No, the rapture is more evangelical. It is there. There's less emphasis on it.
Oh, but it's there.
It's there, but it's not like it's a, well, we don't know if you're a real Christian then, issue with Catholics.
So
that's what I mean.
So, like, how do you, how then does a religious sect, if I will, dare I say that, choose whether or not the rapture is part of their sort of fundamental framework? Because when I grew up in my religion, I didn't even know what the rapture was until, like, what was that HBO show that came out? The Taken.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't remember. What's that?
Left Behind?
Left Behind, that's what it was. It was all kind of the rapture kind of thing. Yes. And I really didn't even know what it was, but I guess maybe we didn't really study, like, Revelations, because that's where it is, right?
Right, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, I'm a preterist, which that's a different deal. I believe all of Revelation happened in 70 AD. That's besides the point. Also, every different church does it differently, how they view it and portray it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, like, I can look at, like, the Eucharist, so the bread and wine, so to speak, and I know where that deviated clearly with Martin Luther back in the medieval times.
Revelation is not as clear-cut.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you sort of ish pick and choose from that.
It's not a salvation issue. It's not like believing in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth, etc.
Okay. Well, okay. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for...
Rapture is not in the Nicene Creed.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Mod State Christian Podcast, where we explore things like the rapture and the Book of Revelation and the Eucharist. 5 minutes in and people are like, oh, holy crap, no. But we're not here to talk about the rapture, even though we just did. We're here to talk about, well, one might ask for the rapture with what's going on in this, as you called it, maelstrom that is going on in the United States today.
But it is a maelstrom.
It is. That's a really good description of sort of what's going on.
Folks, if don't think the one near Denmark or whatever. Get on, don't have the movie. Get on YouTube and look at the one in the third Pirates movie.
Gotcha. That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay. Noted.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, it's not just a whirlpool. It's full of just
stuff.
Awful stuff.
Well, in a way, our last podcast probably, our last podcast probably stewed up that the maelstrom talk, and then I think this one we'll touch on a little bit, but a very micro maelstrom, if you will, is that of the President of the United States. Fairly more difficult week that he has had, and it continues to remain difficult, and we'll talk about some social fabric stuff as well that I think is super interesting surrounding all of this. But we already had a podcast, I think it was two or three ago, about the Helsinki summit with Putin, and of course meeting with NATO leaders as well, and just the sort of juxtaposition, if you will, between his time with NATO and then his time with Putin. And obviously that created an intense backlash, even from where Donald Trump would find allyship in the United States, if I dare use that as a word. And he really had to walk this. Well, the one thing he didn't do is walk it back and say, look, I wasn't as strong with Putin. He obviously didn't walk any of that back. What it was damage control from his administration and trying to find allies. And then Sarah Huckabee Sanders, bending over backwards to try to explain what the president actually meant after several days of not addressing it at all, and then finally going on, not her, but Trump going on two TV interviews and finally saying, well, it wasn't would, I meant wouldn't. And then when someone asked him the question about...
must be paying her a hell of a lot of money.
God, yeah, I couldn't imagine. I'm sure Sean Spicer is like, his book came out, by the way.
Last week. Yeah. I sent you that picture of Sean Spicer. The media got in there, and he didn't want to be seen for the briefing. He's out in the bushes.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, yep. Sean, he got his picture taken in the bushes. You have to believe it.
Yeah, you're right.
So here's Sean Spicer, like, in the Rose Garden.
Just hiding
from the media. It's like, oh, my God. Oh,
man, dude, just embrace it. But you're not doing it, so don't worry about it. But so he also answered, and I'm trying to remember the question. I think it was... Do you believe your intelligence agencies, but it was something along the lines.
Do you trust the FBI, CIA, NSA?
Yeah, it was something along the lines. I'd have to find the actual quote for the question, but either way, he answered the question or made the comment, no. And whatever it was, it basically was like undermining the intelligence agencies or making Russia look good.
No, he's made some statements that he doesn't have a lot of confidence in the immigration.
Yeah.
Immigration. Intelligence.
Exactly. To which he then walked back. She walked back. Sarah Huckabee Sanders walked back later and said he wasn't saying no to the question. He was saying no, that he wasn't going to answer any more questions. To which the majority of the public and news media outlets in the United States went, no, that's bullshit.
No, doggy,
where? No. Anyway, so after this whole Russia debacle and further isolation of the President of the United States, good old Michael Cohen, we find out that he has secretly recorded tapes or videos or whatever it is of the President of the United States addressing payments.
He takes the cake.
Addressing payments to a porn star or entertainer or whatever you want to call it, to which he had vehemently denied ever having any involvement with over the course of his entire presidency, to which the entire or the majority of Americans went, yeah, we knew.
Yeah, we already felt that was not the case.
We knew. You didn't have to. You didn't have
to. In the last 2 years, you've discussed this with your personal attorney.
Yeah. If TMZ wasn't a 5 years ago, even though it might have been, if those tapes weren't just a sort of foundation for what you probably have done in the way you have lived your life over the last 70 plus years, it's probably more statistically probable that you paid off a porn star than you didn't. So,
anyway. Yeah, with that kind of wealth, I guess.
Anyway, the point being, in a weird twist again, the popular the opinion polls of one said Michael Cohen seem a lot better than they were 2 weeks ago, where Michael Cohen actually might be able to go into a bar in any sort of liberal part of the town and get a beer bought for him because he had the foresight to record conversations with the president of the United States, either because that's just what he does as a lawyer, or he knew some shit like this might come up at some point, to which he was protecting himself.
I know several attorneys that their offices recorded.
You know what?
It's not uncommon.
So
that may be inadmissible, especially if you don't inform somebody you're taping them.
Exactly. Switch is this weird like attorney-client privilege thing. Like, right. I don't really want you to record me because I'm telling you some deep, deep stuff about myself. However, you're never going to show this to anybody, right? No, because we have attorney-client privilege, and there's no reason that I should. Okay, right. Good. Until the Department of Justice, until the Department of Justice subpoenas and basically raids your entire office and takes millions of pieces of documents, and happened to be going through some tapes, going, "Oh shit, this is Donald Trump. Is he talking about? He's talking about paying off a porn star. Well, that confirms everything." Again, let me just, without being too humorous about this, there's a couple things here that you pointed out in precast about this. That being, well, it's not like he did anything illegal. It isn't as if Nancy Pelosi's right, and you said that this is like the third time that you've agreed with her in a year, which is a bit insanity, that this doesn't fall under high crimes and misdemeanors.
Doesn't happen often.
No, it doesn't happen often. So it's not like, again, he's done anything illegal. However, it's, again, one of those things where, dude, not a good look. Especially,
I think it comes down in a big way to the fact that he thinks that admitting that Russia did anything would undermine his election. And that's not true. Okay, the fact is, all those bots on Facebook that I saw, I didn't click on them. I'm different. I get it. But, you know, all those bots did not change the Electoral College.
No.
Okay. There was a movement regardless. Yeah. Okay. I'm not saying their bots didn't help for a minute, but there was plenty of that going on in America. What have we been talking about? American political outrage.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so.
Yeah. So anyway, again, so the other part of this too is obviously the Cohen tapes, which we won't, maybe we'll never know. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff being thrown around whether or not this will be admissible in court. We may never know what's on these tapes. Or only a few people that we're doing investigating will ever know, other than Donald Trump and Michael Cohen and those people, will ever know what's on these tapes. and if Kavanaugh has his way and continues the legacy of executive power, he will never probably ever see that. And again, of note, interestingly enough, Nixon fact of the day, Kavanaugh actually wrote, I think it was in 99, said that he believes that the Watergate tapes should have never been released. So in that case, you know, we might have been a whole different world, you know? So,
who knows?
World, but a different presidency. So there's a couple take homes here. So obviously the president had a tough week, but we talked about something in precast, and this goes back to the Russia thing a little bit, because we've got all these tapes and where everyone's trying to find something to nail on Donald Trump. And it would be in poor look on my part if I didn't say that secretly somewhere I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop and I'm popping some popcorn, kind of waiting to see what happens.
Like riots in the streets.
No, more like with the presidency itself. A little bit more micro, not as macro as that. I hope that doesn't
happen. It's been time to have popcorn with the president.
Yeah, well, we've been popping it all year. But, you know, it goes more broadly to, like, what's going on? What is happening here? How does the president go to Europe, have a really tough meeting. Good
Skulls are
good,
allies.
Skulls are allies, and then looks like a shell of himself with the dictator of Russia.
Look,
then comes home.
He knows what happens. I'm telling you, it's as simple as the fact that if he admits that Vladimir Putin, the Russians, engaged in anything that it remotely helped him get elected, he thinks that would do it. That has to be the answer.
Yeah, and I think I brought that up on a couple podcasts ago, and I think you had a counter argument to that, but it's true. I think in Donald Trump's non-political mind, I think just in his sort of power negotiations and how he leverages himself against people, I think he's afraid that it would look.
Now, let me clarify on that real quick. I don't think it undermines his presidency.
Sure, and I don't really have.
He does.
Yeah, I don't really have a counter argument to that, and I think with his base, with his base and everybody, I don't think. Again, you've always said this. Like, there's always going to be the group of people that if he cured AIDS, they'd still hate him. So people are hoping that people would use it as a reference to the fact that his presidency is invalid. Whereas I just don't. I mean, again. Unless the actual
he's
votes,
still the president, and they're not.
Yeah, unless the votes were actually tampered with,
haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah, fake news is propaganda that's been used since we could write and orate.
Well, you know what? How dare they crack down on this? But that's the point. You know, some of that came because they repealed the Smith-Munn Act.
That's true, which we still have to do a podcast about at some point.
But they made propaganda legal against this country, folks.
Yeah.
Since 1938, it had been banned. They made it legal. But the issue here is, I mean, so it's okay to weaponize media against our people, but Russians had better not do it.
Yeah. Well,
isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, it's all.
I mean,
it's,
I get it. I don't want you emphasizing. Yeah, I don't want you over here with your ideas with my people during election time either. I get it, but we're doing the same thing to our own people.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like we can't find the moral equivalency, or there is no moral equivalency to Russia meddling in our election as it is for us promoting democracy around the world. However, I think there is an absolute moral equivalency. Moral equivalency to using propaganda on your own people as it is Russia meddling in our election. I agree with that 100%.
I agree.
So, but there's a couple things also surrounding this Russia issue. And that is, okay, well, why did the president act the way he did? And there's a number of theories out there. One being probably the lesser of the three theories that I'm proposing is that he respects him, or he really wants to be friends with him, and somehow he would strong arm our allies and submit to Putin. I don't think that's the case. I think he's a fairly dominant alpha male kind of guy and wants to be the show, basically. The other theories are, of course, that Putin has dirt on him, like actually has dirt. Maybe it's some, what they call it, the P tape, or who knows. And I think that Putin saying that he had no idea Trump was in Moscow at the time is utter garbage, but doesn't matter. Like, that doesn't matter.
For their meeting?
No. So, you know, that whole thing around the tape
him being in Moscow.
So when someone asked him like point blank, whether or not he's got something on Donald Trump, Putin said, I didn't even know he was in Moscow when he was here. Almost as if he was sort of demeaning the president, like his presence in his country wasn't even worthy of him knowing about it, which I think is.
But that's a strange answer, though. You noticed Moscow wasn't in the question.
Or was it Moscow? I don't remember what.
What I mean is the place wasn't set in the question.
Well,
so have you been doing a little reading into this, sir?
Well, I think that was the whole thing that he was in Moscow. I mean, that's been in the news over and over. So all Putin had to do is just like read the news about this whole Moscow thing, and so even if it wasn't in the question,
the propaganda left here, went to Russia, and came back for our elections.
What's that? Wait, one more time.
So the propaganda left here, went to Russia, and came back for the 2016 election.
The
bots and all that.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's propaganda.
Yeah. The other part of this, so there's the tape, and then the other part of this is, why is he doing this? Is this because it's just a form of a very unsubtle form of kleptocracy? Now, kleptocracy, for those of you who don't know that word, is essentially saying he's using his position of power in the presidency of the United States to sort of gain some sort of status or privilege later on after the presidency or during, which would violate the Emoluments Clause, which we did an episode about a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that one, though.
So, but you know what? It could be happening, and it's just very subtle.
Like, not the Emoluments Clause when this one.
The kleptocracy, like blatant kleptocracy. I think blatant kleptocracy is probably less of the probability. But I don't think that any president does
He's not going to be living in a mansion in St. Petersburg.
Exactly. I don't think there's no way you could not be the president of the United States and not have some sort of form of kleptocracy out of that. Like, you're going to, people will want your influence. I mean, that's just the case.
What job are you going to have after that? What book are you going to write for that? I mean,
you will gain from your position.
You're famous forever.
Exactly. So, but the kleptocracy we're talking about is like this 2-hour meeting that they had with just interpreters where they were hashing out some business venture in the end. And Putin's going to let him into his good old boys club in Russia and he's going to be part of the oligarchy. No, that type of kleptocracy. Is probably not happening. So the question then is, okay, if you apply Occam's razor to this, which one is it? That's the question I leave for you. Or is there a fourth dark horse theory that he was just having an off day and he just didn't look like himself and didn't have his cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Jet lag caught up to him.
I'm bad.
And he really didn't know what to do. He personally wants better relations between these two, like enemies, essentially. He wants some sort of partnership.
That
could easily be where Occam's razor slides. But it's not a good look to go and be strong-armed with our allies in the European Union and in NATO and then go not be as strong-armed with an enemy of the United States. If those things hadn't happened together, there wouldn't be anything to base off.
Why you refer to Occam's razor, because it's about utilizing the fewest assumptions and the simplest path to whatever you're doing is more times than not the right one.
The right one, yes. So you know, it's a weird application of Occam's
razor. I'm not sure how you would apply this beyond. I mean, the fewest amount of assumptions is to believe everything the president is saying.
Yeah.
Because then otherwise it's presumption.
Yeah. And again, that's why I'm not really lending a whole lot of credence to any of these theories that I'm putting out there, because I really, quite frankly, don't know. I'm literally just sitting back, taking it all in. Like, this is what happened. I'm not assuming that any of these things happened. Again, if I apply Occam's razor or just the idea of what's probably the most likely out of this entire thing, probably most likely that he just didn't know how to handle this dictator the same way that he could handle Kim Jong-un differently. Like,
I think he didn't know how to play it.
Because, again, we're talking about, and again, this is by no shape or form a Trump apology episode. It's not. It's just trying to make sense of this entire thing. I think if you look at who Donald Trump is, he's a negotiator for a business. It's not even a publicly traded business. There's no shareholders involved. He's pretty much, his team runs a huge business, and he's used to sitting down and hashing things out with the big wigs, coming to some sort of negotiation. He's the man in power. He's the one that's going to write the checks. And so he has leverage. I think that's just the way he's been operating for years and years and years.
Right.
So it's not crazy for him to sit down with another man or woman, for that matter, no gender needed here, and have these heart-to-heart sit-down negotiation talks and just keep it behind closed doors. Gosh, I really wish you spoke fluent English so we could really not need interpreters. I think that's probably more of what it was, and he just couldn't size Putin up the same way.
It hasn't been done.
It hasn't. Russia. And to be honest,
Russia, but
And to be honest, there's more to lose.
What, Poland?
Well, there's more to lose for Kim Jong-un than there is for Putin. Putin has this crumbled empire that he wishes to re-expand. He has a vision. He has, though wrong principles, I think, in forms of our relation to the democracy that we have, his political aspirations and his ideological aspirations are fairly well-crafted, and he just needs to implement them, and he's doing it by the elections and stuff, where Kim Jong-un's far more isolated. So it's much easier to sit down with this guy from a power position than it is with Russia. The history is a lot different. And I think that's probably what happened. However, who knows, man? There might be a golden shower tape out there somewhere. I have no idea. But I said this I said this in precast as well. And this is probably I don't think we will ever know if there's a tape or not, because a good intelligence officer doesn't easily let the information for which he gains his leverage from out to be leaked. Because the second you leak the leverage, then there is no more leverage. So, and you brought up a good point. In 2018, with the things called the internets and easy digital access to everything, do you think we probably would have seen something by now?
Oh, absolutely. In this day and age, with the way things come out, I mean, look at Ross Ulbricht, you know, look at Snowden, look at Sartre Bergdorf. I mean, that stuff just comes out, okay? If there was something that damning that was circulating around, because that's the thing that makes it so unbelievable. The UK agent, it is strange, Nigel Farage, whatever his name was.
Yeah, that guy.
The guy killed. All right. And the whole thing ended up just being a fiasco, you know, but I think that's probably
a fair theory. Yeah. And you know what? Who knows? That could be the easier of all those theories, that they just have dirt on them. But
I don't have a dog in any of these. Maybe this is something to revisit again as the year goes on. Yeah, because I don't either.
I think even what's more interesting from this entire thing, and this is another piece of the debacle.
It would have been leaked. I'm sorry. Yeah,
there's another piece of this kind of isolated president for this week, is that this indictment came out for these 12 Russian agents, one of them being this girl named Bettina, being her last name, who basically came to the United States, cozied up with a lot of NRA Christian conservative groups, as an agent to Russia, and we'll probably hear more about her situation as trial goes on. And there's a lot of weird links between her boyfriend, who is a huge conservative strategist, and then his friend, her name is KT, I believe, who then really was a kind of a conservative member. She floated around. She was probably a fundraiser / lobbyist, etc. She got lobbied by this Bettina girl's, or this Bettina's boyfriend, Erickson, I think is his last name. He lobbied to Michael Flynn, the national security chief at the time, to make her a deputy. So Sally Yates, back in the day, right around when Michael Flynn got fired, went to the White House and petitioned the administration and said, there is a compromise. There is an absolute compromise in your White House. You have to fix it. And then basically gave the Flynn story and walked it back. It said, this is who she is. Here's who she's linked to and who she was petitioned by. And this is that guy's girlfriend, who is an agent, a Russian agent, who is infiltrated.
This is just too much.
It's crazy. So
does this shit actually happen? I mean, it is.
Yeah, it has actually happened. So we'll never know.
We need more wrinkles.
We'll probably never know anything from those other Russian agents. But this was another thing Sarah Huckabee Sanders did. And she basically, and I don't know if she really meant it this way. However, just because of her track record and just being an apologist for the president, as she is the spokesperson, a spokesperson is typically an apologist, had said that they were discussing, or they hadn't dismissed the idea of Mueller going to Russia to interview agents. Likewise, Russian agents coming to the United States and interviewing U.S. citizens, which sent a firestorm out. People were like, what are you going to do? They didn't say they were going to do it. However, it was just brought up as a not a firm no, which is sort of weird.
Bizarre.
So all of this is like the pieces are sort of coming together in these little weird ways.
Sufficiently enough to get an idea yet.
Yeah, enough. And I'm not trying to make speculation here. I'm just kind of stating the facts as they are.
We got to go over it because as this thing comes together, we got to put these pieces in the right place.
Exactly.
So
when the Flynn stuff comes up, you're going to see this link to Flynn as the deputy, his deputy, who was basically lobbied to that position by this guy, the social or this conservative sort of behemoth or fundraiser organizer, whose girlfriend was created relationship with this girl named Bettina, who has been on the news. It was at Christian prayer sessions. She was an NRA spokesperson. We haven't even talked about the weird link between Russia and the NRA, but I'm not going to dive into that because I don't know enough about it to really talk. But there's definitely been some weird theories / evidence that there's been some money funneled into the NRA by Russians, which, whatever, I guess, like, it seems weird, but it's not as weird as this whole six degrees of separation that we're going to hear more about when the trial happens. So this is what's been happening in America this week, folks. So
all Manafort's going to jail for like 300 years.
Or not at all.
At all. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, it's either not or he does. But
yeah, he's not going to see the sun again if he goes to prison. But
you know, let's make a prediction. What do you think? Does he go away and never see sunlight again? Or does he have a very light sentence? Can't be wrong. You just got to flip a coin.
At this point, I think it looks bad for him because the president was shaky on pardoning people. Yeah, I think he's getting picked on unfairly because this is a tax law that these laws about reporting all communications with foreign officials, even while you're serving overseas, not with the military, but, you know, obviously in that workforce.
Yeah.
You're supposed to close all that as a lobbyist. Well, how many of them do you think do? They come back to the U.S. with pounds or euros. They've been, you know, they're not going to. Yeah.
So you think you think he'll be made an example of?
I think that's a very real possibility. Yeah. Based. I mean, forced to choose between the two. I mean, again, I could easily pick other side at
that point. Yeah. So I'll take the dissenting opinion. I think he has a very light sentence and gets out. But again, could go the other way too. Could go the other way.
We'll see. And also, folks, Ross Ulbricht was denied this week. He's the Dread Pirate Roberts of Silk Road. The Supreme Court of the United States refused to hear his case.
So is that the final appeal?
Basically. I think you can. I mean,
can you endlessly appeal? I don't know if that's.
What he would have to do is get it back in a federal district court, get them to hear it again, find a federal court that'll hear it, and that'd be the route to do it to me. Oof, but
good luck.
Yeah, that's an episode all on its own.
Yeah.
Now,
so yeah,
there's Fourth Amendment violations in that case.
Yeah, that's a Silk Road episode that we'll have to do, but. My voice is going to hell here, and I think we beat this one to a dead horse. So, maybe next week won't be as exciting as this last week. Goodness gracious!
I never enjoy hearing you say things like that, because inevitably, I mean, I call it falling piano syndrome. Today's going great. Walk around the building, blam!
Yeah, true. It's true.
You jinxed it.
Well, hopefully I did. Then we have some more stuff to talk about. So,
yeah.
All right, my friend. It's always a pleasure doing this. It's always an honor.
Very much an honor.
So until next time.
Au revoir.
We'll see you.